Effect is a production of iHeartRadio. I'm your host, Heidi Murkoff, and I'm a mom on a mission. A mission to help you know what to expect every step of the way. My guest today is one funny mother. From her hit comedy specials to her blockbuster movies, Trainwreck and I Feel Pretty, Amy Schumer has made it her mission to keep us all laughing. Let's just say mission accomplished. And now Amy has taken on a new role alongside her husband, Chris, as mom to their ridiculously adorable little boy, Gene. She's documented her amazing journey to motherhood in a brand new docuseries on HBO Max called Expecting Amy, that I have to say was everything I expected. Funny, profound, inspiring, and oh so real, just like Amy. Amy, thanks for joining us. Congrats, first of all, on baby Gene, who's not really technically a baby anymore because he just turned one. How are you dealing with that?
Yeah, he's just about 14 months now. It's but thank you. I appreciate the congratulations.
He's probably got lots of new tricks, right?
Well, he's been walking since he was 10 months.
Oh.
I know. He like wants
fast
to
track,
just
baby.
Walk out the door and get his own apartment. And yeah, I mean, he just, you know, he's just saying a couple words and, but every day it's like it's the best. Everybody tells you it keeps getting better.
It does. But it, you know, I always say stop and smell the babies because they grow up in a blink.
I know. Right?
Don't you feel he was just born?
That's the only thing that the coronavirus has been good for, is just getting to spend all this time with him. It's just been so amazing. You'll probably hear him screaming.
Oh, I hope so.
Just running around.
Has he had tantrums yet?
No. I mean, you know, if we take something, like he wants to put everything in his mouth. If we take something out of his mouth, he, you know, he doesn't like throw himself on the floor or anything. Like I think I did.
So I want to ask, did you always want to be a mother? Was that something you always had in your plans?
No. I think I was pretty sure I was not, never was interested in being a mom. I just never thought about it. It just wasn't part of my, you know, my dreams or my future. I never thought about getting married either.
Yeah.
You know, when I met my husband, I wanted to have kids with him.
Aww.
That's what it was about. Yeah.
Did he always want to be a dad?
Yeah, he did. He always knew he wanted kids.
I always say that, you know, without a sense of humor, parents are totally screwed. So you have one. Do you think that it sort of helped you stay sane?
Oh, my God. Yeah. It's the only thing that helped me stay sane.
Yeah.
We just laugh at ourselves because, I mean, we fail so hard all the time, you know, like we just, the first time we gave him a bath, it was like, it went so bad. It went, you know, we just, when it was over and he was finally in bed, like we were just laughing, like just covered in water and laughing because it's like, wow. But I mean, like anything else, you have to do something a lot to get good at it, you know, so you're not going to be amazing at everything right away, and you have to forgive yourself for that.
Totally. And you know, it's funny because they give you training for almost any other job, and then parenting, they just, you know, let you go home from the hospital with a baby and expect you to know exactly what to do.
Yeah, it really, I mean, it's just shocking how much you just realize that. I mean, for me, I was like, oh my God, I don't know anything. It was like, oh my, like all these things I hadn't thought of, you know, and
right.
You just feel like such a failure, but it's just, you know, part of it.
Yeah. You learn in the trenches, right?
Yeah. And I feel lucky, you know, you rely on your girlfriends and now there's videos, there's you, but man, it's tough.
It totally is. Now you decided to document the entire journey on camera.
Right.
What made you want to make those private moments public?
You know, I've always been an oversharer, like, and comfortable with nudity, like just in a way where, you know, just I always have been an oversharer. And so what I realized is, you know, in my comedy, it's made people laugh and feel better. All I ever want to do is make people laugh and feel better.
Well, you
and,
do that.
And less alone, you know, thank you. And so, I don't like, I just, I filmed that day at the zoo. I just said like, you know, maybe we'll document it. And then we just did with our cell phones, with whatever. And we didn't really have a plan, you know, and I said, you know, maybe we won't ever use any of this, or maybe we'll edit it and then we'll just have a really cool home video to show him one day.
Yeah.
But we wound up, I wound up meeting this amazing editor and director, Alexander Hammer, who had worked with Beyonce a lot. Like he did Homecoming and just all these videos, you know, worked with every artist. And he was down to come on board. And so once he started shaping it, I was like, okay, wow, this is real. This is like really becoming a documentary, you know, like a docuseries. So
yeah.
Yeah. I think just having no pressure about it, like there was no money, no, you know, we weren't like, we didn't know we were even making a documentary. We were just like, right, let's film everything and see what happens.
And of course you had no idea the plot twist that was about to happen. You didn't know you were going to have hyperemesis.
No, I mean, I feel so bad for myself. Like when I see that, I'm like, I was kind of excited the first morning I was throwing up. I think I was 4 or 5 weeks pregnant. And I was just like, oh, you know, because you always see it in movies and everything. And I didn't know that it was going to be that way for, you know, 9 months.
And you were kind of like celebrating it. Because like when I was pregnant the first time, I didn't have any morning sickness. So I thought, oh, something's got to be wrong. Right.
Oh,
so you
right,
kind of get some reassurance out of having the morning sickness. But
yeah,
then
it made it feel more real, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it just made me feel, it just feels like one of those, because you know, movies and TV shows for so long are mostly, you know, written by white men.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You don't really get the female experience. And so one of the jokes in my act was that, like, you know, you see a woman throw up once and then she's like in overalls painting a barn. It's just like
right,
this cute montage, you know, but it really is. I mean, other than your work, really, there's like, it's not out there, you know, like,
yeah,
there, a couple of people have documented their pregnancies. Yeah. And it wasn't sure it was going to happen. And there are lots of twists that we didn't know were going to happen.
So did you have any cravings or aversions?
I had only aversions.
Only aversions.
I really craved like just the comfort food from when I was growing up because I felt so sick. So I wanted the food my mom made me when I was sick, which was like Campbell's chicken noodle soup and a grilled cheese or, you know, but really I kept nothing down.
Right. How many times were you hospitalized?
I think I went to the hospital like a dozen times.
Oh,
I was lucky enough that people, I could have a nurse come give me an IV because mm-hmm. of my privilege. Hospitalized like probably 10 to 15 times. And felt very lucky to be there. And just because, you know, what I learned about hyperemesis is that 1 in 3 babies don't make it. Because the moms aren't getting the nutrition that they need
right.
or the hydration they need. So, you know, I just, the whole time I just kept thinking about what are other people doing? You know, I have means, I can do this and I can miss work. And, you know, so I just had no idea, but there's a whole hyperemesis foundation with Dr. Kimber. That's just amazing that I felt like, you know, I felt like I wasn't alone with that community.
Yeah. No, I imagine a lot of moms don't realize that they have it. And if they're not getting regular medical care,
I think you're right. And they're hesitant yeah. to, because there's not much research on it because they don't research women's health very much.
Nope. No, they do not.
Look at
our maternal mortality rate in this country is completely out of control.
Yeah. And if you're a woman of color, it's 4 times more. And if you're a woman
exactly.
of color in New York City, you're 12 times more likely to die during childbirth for no reason, for a mistake. that they made.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also because moms aren't listened to.
No, I mean, no, especially that, not, you know, Indigenous or Black moms.
Nope. And, you know, just make, you know, getting them to a point where they're empowered to ask questions is great. But then the doctors actually have to listen and take their concerns seriously.
Yeah, they need they need real training on this because it's such mm-hmm. a clear flaw. I have friends who have just had horrible experiences, you know, when they've been hospitalized or their child was sick, and Black women, they mm-hmm. were just not listened yep. to. Yeah.
No, I hear that all the time. Yeah. And, you know, lots of moms with HG end up with pregnancy, postpartum depression, because even postpartum PTSD, because it's so debilitating. It's so traumatic. Did you experience that?
No, I was like really ready to experience that. I almost like figured that into my birth plan, was like, and then I'll be really depressed. But I was so sick, and it's this instant the baby is out of view. It's gone. It's completely gone. The nausea, all of it is gone. And so I was like, it was, you know, New Year's and my birthday, and you know, it was like, it was the greatest day of my life just having Jean. But on top of that, this sickness that had been in me for 9 months was just gone. And so I was the happiest person. You know, they're like, oh, how's your C-section? I had a C-section. They're like, how does that feel? I'm like, I don't care at all. Like, I am not vomiting. And I was so happy, and I was eating, and you know, I was thrilled.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. So you didn't, a lot of moms throw up after the surgery. You didn't.
I threw up during the surgery.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's actually not in the documentary, but no. I threw up. I was vomiting pretty badly the first like 20 minutes of the surgery. So, oh, wow. I mean, it was brutal. But I also want to say this about not having postpartum is that I had a baby nurse, you know,
and I have
an assistant. So I think if I didn't have those, you know, those luxuries, I am sure I would be in that club. So
it's the hardest job, and recovering plus taking care of a baby 24/7.
How could you not get depressed? I mean, it's so exciting and the baby is magical, but that kind of, and you're healing from a major surgery, you know, if you have a C-section, it's just like, no, Yeah, I'm really proud of my work with Every Mother Counts, with Christy Turlington's foundation. They help women with childbirth and making sure that there's a medical representative there. They don't have the means, you know, and a doula. Like I had such a great doula, even though it was C-section, she stuck with me, you know, and I can't stress enough how great having a doula was.
And that's why, well, every mom should be able to have a doula, and they should be covered by insurance, but especially Black moms.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because that would make a huge difference to have that someone advocating for you.
There's nothing I learned that has stuck with me more than that. And, mm-hmm. you know, I'm doing everything I can to, you know, not like I can change that, but I'm trying my very best.
Yeah, that's awesome. So pretty much every mom has to work through pregnancy, even, you know, even if they're sick, but they don't have to do that in front of a live audience. And you did, you know, how did you stay motivated?
Money? No, I'm just kidding. First of all, it's like, it doesn't matter the size of the audience. It's like those people were planning on seeing you. It's a really big deal to me that to buy tickets to a show, like if I'm buying tickets to a live show, that's like a night out. It's just a big deal. So I just really wanted to show up to be there, you know, and to put on a show. I felt really bad because some people drive, you know, they don't live. If I'm in Atlanta, they're driving, you know, it's like, so I really tried to be there, if I could physically be there, if I wasn't in the hospital. But But it was really hard. I never threw up on stage. The adrenaline or whatever it was, like I was able to get through it. But
that's incredible.
I know. It was just a nice distraction for an hour a night, you know?
So that maybe that's the secret. Moms with HG should do stand up. And
just everybody do stand up.
Okay, I'll put that in the book.
Please. I mean, I would be throwing up. Like, I would be throwing up and throwing up to the point I was getting off stage, you know?
Wow. Well, yeah. Congrats on that. Like, incredible.
Thanks.
So, how much does Chris love being a dad?
Oh God, he's so crazy about Gene. He is like, they're so cute. I mean, it's such a different and special bond.
Yeah.
It's been really cool. I'm actually looking at them right now. They're outside.
Aww. What are they doing?
It's too charming. It's like annoying. Chris is making a garden for Gene. And so he's having him help him. Yeah.
Oh, stop.
I know. It's too much. It's too much. I can't handle it.
Oh, is he a mama's boy or a daddy's boy or kind of an equal
both.
Opportunity?
Yeah, I heard. Yeah? I mean, he's totally both. Like he's,
aww.
Yeah, we're really lucky in that way. But every night, like before he goes to bed, we just all hang out in our bed together and read books and like, you know, go under the covers and listen to music. And it's just the most special time of my life.
I know. And now you wanted to go again, right? You have
another baby.
A baby or two or three or baker's dozen.
Well, I'm never going to be pregnant again. I also have really bad endometriosis and adenomyosis. And so I could have a baby again physically, but it might kill me.
That's not recommended.
No. And you know, just the stats that 1 in 3 babies, you know, and it's like, you're going to have hyperemesis again. It's like, you know, basically a 90% chance I'll have it again. And, you know, we got some embryos and, I went through IVF and we got one normal one and 2 mosaics. So we're, you know, I think we're thinking seriously about taking the surrogacy route. But you know, just COVID kind of put everything on hold, but
of course
we do want more. I hope that's in the cards for us.
Well, you know, I always say motherhood is the ultimate sisterhood. So what would you tell your mom sisters who are struggling to get pregnant, struggling with infertility?
Oh my God. I just think they're warriors. I just think it's the hardest thing. And this thing, women are just supposed to be tough and just
mm-hmm.
suck it up and not complain. And men will never understand what going through IVF is like. And, and for these women, I just want them to know that I know how hard it is and I know how strong they are. And I just think, especially women who go through it multiple times, like, you know, it's just, oh God. And you know, everyone telling you it'll be worth it and whatever. It's like, it's true, but it's still so fucking hard. And just, you know, there's nothing else I can say, except I just think, you know, when I hear a woman's gone through IVF or gone through IVF, you know, many times, I just think she's like the strongest person.
So, Amy, I know you're an open book, so might as well ask, how's the new parent sex going?
Well, you know, it's like they say, like, you can't have sex for like 6 weeks, you know, and I was like hoping it was going to be longer than that because like they just like sliced my fupa open. I'm not like dying to, you know, get pounded from behind. Thank you very much. So I just like was very down to wait the 6 weeks. And then it was nice. It was like
maybe 6 months.
It was, I know. I'm like, I think they said 6 months. You know, but it was sweet. Like, you know, once we could have sex again, it was nice. And we're really good about having sex once a week.
That's what we did.
Yeah, like we just keep it going because you have to. Otherwise, you're just like roommates, and then it's like weird that you're having sex.
Yeah, exactly. And if you don't put it on the calendar, then you can get really lazy about it.
Right. No, we make a plan. Let's have sex tomorrow or Tuesday. Like that'll be a good day. And then we do it. And we go, that's great. We should do that more. But good. We still just do it once a week.
You still don't know. That's plenty. That's plenty. Good for you guys.
Oh my God.
It's a
ton.
It's a ton. So I hear that you have a question for me. Because I hope to turn the tables here.
Yeah, I do have a question for you. So Gene, he was on Holly Formula, you know, that like. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And so now he's going to be 14 months in like a week. And we've been like, we're giving him right now, I would say probably like 10 to 12 ounces of milk in total a day. Mm-hmm. Is that appropriate? Because I have some friends that are making me feel like that he should be having no milk right now, and that like crazy to me for him, but I want to do what's best for him, obviously. So what do you think?
So he's on whole milk now, or is he still on the formula?
He's on the Holly, you know. It's like okay. They graduate, there's like the different levels of Holly,
he can switch to whole milk. In fact, you don't need to keep doing the formula.
Okay.
So whole milk is fine. And in fact, it's recommended that toddlers get, 2 cups a day. So like 16 ounces. But you can do the equivalent. Does he eat cheese or whole milk?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, because you just do an equivalent. So as long as he's getting the equivalents, calcium. Yeah.
It should total 16?
So total 16 of milk or 2 cups of whole milk yogurt or like a quarter cup of cheese is
right.
One serving. So it's all basically equivalent. But the whole milk is important because they need the extra fat.
Okay.
So plant milk, a lot of moms start thinking about plant-based milk, and that's not a good idea. Mm-mm. They need the fat and the protein.
Okay, good.
Is he a good little solids eater? Is he a gourmet because Chris is a chef?
he's a good little solids eater. I mean, it really is like, you have to like to come up with some way for him to open his mouth and eat some bites. But if he likes something, he'll just go to town on it. And he likes to take food out of my mouth. So and put it in his mouth. So I'll put like a chicken nugget like in my mouth and he'll like pull it out with his fingers and put it in his mouth because he thinks it's funny.
mine. Yeah. Oh, that's actually good psychology.
Yeah.
So is he adventurous? Is he like a mac and cheese guy or lobster mac and cheese guy?
Oh yeah. No, his dad's a chef, it's like he eats pretty well. His food always looks so good to me. I always like whatever he doesn't eat, I'm always eating.
Leftovers.
Chris just had these purees with all these vegetables going early. Mm. So he's pretty good, but he does love bread. That's another question. Like he wants like a slice of bread with lunch and with dinner, just like,
I guess
he probably eats about half of it, but I'll put like cream cheese on it or butter or something so we get some fat. Yeah. But
so it's whole grain bread. That's the most important
part. Yeah. It's like
part.
Ezekiel.
Yeah. Oh, that's great for him.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, good. I don't know what I would have done if you said no, because he really wants it.
No, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that. No, really bread and whole grains. Those are really super important for a growing toddler.
Yeah. And I really just loved your videos. I mean, I look forward to them. They're like, they're so important. Like they were so important to me every week and I would like wait to watch and whatever. And, I think they're funny because sometimes you say things that sound so terrifying in like the sweetest way, which is like something I like to do in my stand up,
Aww.
So, you'd be like, your little monster is clawing at your insides.
Did I say that?
I didn't say that. But some things like sounded so scary to me. Like you're just like so scared while you're pregnant. Like what? This is so I just, It really made me laugh.
I was really trying to calm you down. So
no, you
I was
did.
Trying to talk you off
you
the
did.
Ledge.
It was nice. It was okay. Completely nice. I mean, I watched every single one of them. So
I'm so glad.
Thank
you so much for being here and hanging out. Well, hopefully one day I get some in-person hugs, because I'm right now I'm super hug starved.
I know. Me too. It's really sad. But yes. I do have a baby that I can hug.
You do. Oh, you lucky.
I know.
You're
I am so lucky.
Don't take that for granted. Oh my God. Okay.
Well, thank you so much. Take care.
You too. Bye. You can check out Expecting Amy on HBO Max, streaming now. I gotta say, it was so real, so raw, and I absolutely loved it.
Ooh, baby love, my baby love, I need you, oh how I need you.
Thanks for listening. Remember, I'm always here for you. What to Expect is always here for you. We're all in this together. For more on what you heard on today's episode, visit whattoexpect.com/podcast. You can also check out What to Expect When You're Expecting, What to Expect the First Year, and the What to Expect app. And we want to hear from you. Connect with us on our community message board or on our social media. You can find me at Heidi Murkoff and Emma at Emma Bing WTE. And of course, at What to Expect. Baby Love is performed by Riley Biederer. What to Expect is a production of iHeartRadio. For more shows from iHeartRadio, check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
In my arms, why don't you stay? Need you.